Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 771, A Familiar View, recorded live on February 25th, 2021. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
We have more Halo Infinite news to talk about tonight. Yeah.
You know, Dust, I really don't think anybody wants to hear about this.
No?
No, I really don't. I don't think we really even need to do a podcast tonight.
No? I guess people aren't excited about open vistas and weird and wondrous world of Zeta Halo and all the art direction. No one cares about that.
No, nobody wants to know what the Halo's going to look like. That's just silly.
They want to come rage about Showtime and how the Halo TV show is going to only be on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
That's what they're here to hear about.
Yeah, well, you know how them people are.
Mm-hmm.
They got to line them freaking pockets. Oh
yeah, they gotta up their streaming presence somehow with exclusive content to their Paramount Plus package.
Although I will have to admit, I'm really getting tired of channels going pay for streaming stuff.
Yeah, there was this trend.
Even Discovery has done it, and it's like, really?
Well, the funny thing was, like, for a while back in the mid-2000s, the trim seemed to be going like cord cutters, where you had all these streaming services that was cheaper than getting cable for having a focused amount of content that you wanted to watch. And now everything's being broken up.
Well, the deal is the streaming services were offering something cable wasn't. The ability to watch what you want and not have to sift through all the garbage.
Right.
Well, now they've got all these exclusive deals to where only certain series are showing up on certain services. Like, you know, only certain series are showing up on Hulu. Only certain series are showing up on Netflix. Only certain series are showing up on Disney Plus or CBS or Paramount.
Or Peacock.
Yeah. Like, I haven't checked out Peacock yet.
HBO, at least Peacock's, Stars.
Peacock's free, though, right?
No, so you can get some stuff for free on there, but it's similar to Hulu, where if you just have the free tier, you can only watch like the last five episodes of whatever series.
Well, Hulu, you can't even do that anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hulu has nothing for free anymore. It's all paid for.
And you're still watching ads. Really?
Yes. They have two tiers. They have $8.99, which you still have to watch ads. And then they have like a $12.99, which gives you limited ads. And then they have another tier, which is ad free, which is like $40 a month. So it's basically cable television at that point.
I mean, I guess in a way, if you're paying for a cable package, you're watching ads on TV anyways.
Like I said, I didn't have a problem. The way Hulu started is they put the TV shows on their website. You watched them. You had ads just like you do on TV, but the service was free.
Right.
You could watch movies. You could watch TV shows. You can even watch some of the newer stuff. Now, granted, you were usually like 10 episodes behind or something like that. Or they would only go up to the previous season, and then you'd have to wait till the next season starts to watch the next season, stuff like that. Which, that's what got me hooked on Hulu for a long time. I don't know how many thousands of hours I spent watching TV on Hulu.
I originally watched Eureka was on Hulu.
Yeah. Well, I actually watched it on Sci-Fi Channel, but anyway. the first time through, but I've watched it a couple more times since then.
Right.
Sorry, it's a good show.
It is. There's several good shows out there before they changed to Sci-Fi.
Anyway.
Anyways, we know people are here to listen to Infinite stuff. We know people are interested to hear what's all crazy in the mystery world of Zeta Halo. But before we get to that, we've got our normal podtacular updates. So let's go on over to GT with an update on how Fragging Friday went last week.
We fragged, and it was Friday.
From Gamer HQ.
No, we had a lot of fun. We actually packed the lobby. I was really impressed. We had a lot of fun. We spent most of the night in customs. We did get some Warzone games in, but we pretty much outgrew everything really quick last week. I was having a lot of fun. I realized that I need to get some new customs. We had a lot of fun in Speed.
We did. We really did. I think did we end up playing it twice?
Yes.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, so we did that. Actually hopped on MCC, which was nice. Get a little variety going.
Mm-hmm.
For tomorrow, if I actually get the time to set up the split stream setup, we might be doing a split lobby of voters' choice, like the normal, like Halo 5 or MCC, and flighting. Wow. Come on, brain, work with me. If that happens, we haven't actually heard yet if flighting is happening. It was targeted to come out today, but we haven't seen any updates from 343 or Postums on if that's actually happening yet. So for the most part, by the time you're listening to this, it'll either have happened or it's going to happen the following week. But in Discord, again, is going to be the place where you vote for all the game nights. I think what we'll end up doing for this coming week is go ahead and put up three options. See if flighting really takes a precedence over the other two. And if it seems to just completely smash out normal MCC and Halo 5, then we might just focus on flighting. If not, then we'll do probably a split lobby tomorrow. But we'll post on Twitter and Discord, depending on what the situation is with flighting. So always keep attention to those two places. Those are the two places we typically update folks on what's happening with game night.
And I apologize. I meant to say Big Team Battle, not Warzone.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even catch that either. But yes. Overall,
Bobby it was a did. Lot of fun.
Thank you, Bobby.
I have a look over Chip and I'm like, oh, yeah, right. Sure.
That's another little podtacular update. Bobby Net is now no longer.
Everybody say your last prayers for Bobby Net. It has gone the way of the dodo.
Yes, Bobby Net is no more, so maybe we'll actually place better than the bottom half on the Halo Bowl going forward.
Yeah, but now you can, if you lose, now you can't blame Bobby Net.
Oh, I still blame myself. Like, I'm usually at the bottom of the pack whenever it comes to the Halo Bowl. It's usually Keys is carrying us. Bobby is somewhat decent. I'm either on fire or completely missing the broadside of a barn. Confal is just there. Trying to keep it all together.
Yeah, the one thing about Confal and the game night is Confal kept winding up outside his vehicle when we were playing Speed. I don't know why that was.
I don't know. Anyway. Although between him and Frogbutts, who like to cause some mayhem whenever we go into customs.
No. Why would we want to play by the rules?
Well, thanks for the update, GT. For achieving Halo, we did some more challenges in MCC. So did some competitive matches. We actually got quite a few people on. We had Keys, Prestige, CM Near actually hopped on. So that was fun.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he did. And we also had one a viewer come on as well and play with us. So we cool. We actually started off with competitive, and then we went over to Big Team, did a little bit of social, and then came back to competitive a couple more times before we ended for the night. And there were some new maps in competitive that I had never played before and seemed really, really odd. There was Yeah, there's some new stuff on Sandbox that just like this map design feels completely weird, but it's Halo 3 and yeah, it's Halo 3.
I like how you waited till like almost midnight to start that achieving stream last Sunday. Wasn't it like 11 o'clock your time when you started?
No, it was on time.
It was? Yeah. It seems like it was later than normal.
No, it was like I actually started on time for once. Like I'm usually like,
maybe I was just late getting the notification, which maybe. Is entirely possible because, you know, Twitch is always right on top of those notifications.
Wink.
Oh, yeah. Duststorm went live 5 hours ago.
Thanks for telling me, Twitch. That really helps now when the stream's not going on anymore. But no, I actually, for the first time in a while, I actually started like right at 10 o'clock and managed to get quite a few people in. So we had a fun time. Obviously, season 6 is quickly ticking away, so we'll probably do some more season 6 challenges this coming Sunday. But for the most part, it was a lot of fun. So if you want to hop on the MCC train and do some challenges with us and work on some of that stuff, then come on over on Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern time and join up. Be happy to have you. So that's a little Podtacular corner. What do we got for matchmaking updates this week, GT?
Let's see. For this week, we've got CE Anniversary Throwback rotating in for Atchinsack and Warzone Turbo going live this weekend.
Turbo time!
Dust, are you okay? Did you break anything or?
Nope.
Okay, just wondering making sure.
Wondering how this going to hear in post after I edit the audio, see if that how badly that peaked out.
Oh, it peaked out bad, by the way.
Well, I know it peaked out bad on my Astros, but like for what I'm actually recording with, how bad it was.
Yeah,
anyways, it hurt me. Turbo time. Continue.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. You may continue.
Okay. Well, keep in mind that for next week, March 4th, the spring 2021 season arrives. And also on March 4th, Ranked Sniper goes live. And we'll get Castle War rotating in for CE Anniversary Throwback.
Ladders.
For Spiders. For the Master Chief Collection, we've got in the social playlist, we've got Rocket Race rotating in, Shoddy Snipers rotating out. And in the competitive playlist, Halo 2 Anniversary Team Hardcore rotates in, Reach Team Hardcore rotates out.
Okie dokie. Very good. Company accommodation update, since I actually forgot about that in the little Podtacular update. We've got nothing new. We're still working on those splatters. But we're within 50 now. We have 46 to go. So when Castle Quarters comes around, please work on the splatters. And then we got headshots. we've got just over 4,000 headshots still needed. That's not too bad.
No, that's not too bad.
And half your kills usually are headshots, unless you're keys, in which case it's probably 80%. But yeah, that should be fun. And then Killer Marines is still at the bottom, and Shoulder Bashes. We have about 8,000, a little less than 8,000 shoulder bashes, and a little over 28,000 marine kills needed to completely finish those out,
which is a lot.
Moving on, we've got a new MCC development and flight update, courtesy of Postums over on the Waypoint forums. There's really nothing new here except for we got some new screenshots in the Twitter post. So Waterfall has another angle of their little floating platform. And we've now got a second map confirmed to be coming in. For those that have played Halo Online, you will recognize this map. It is Edge. Has a lot of very cool Forerunner aesthetics. It's kind of a ring type map with some middle pieces connected to it. That map was actually a lot of fun to play in Halo Online whenever I played it. So
yeah, it was. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I really ought to fire that up again and play it.
Yeah, I should too. I want to see what the Elder Duido folks have made updates to their little interface. They're still doing little quality of life improvements for the mod. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll have to update the mod because I haven't updated it in a while. I don't think I've even fired it up in almost 6 months.
Did you update it to the point where Forge was included?
No.
It's been a while since you've updated. Yeah. A long time. Maybe like a couple of years since you updated.
Has it been out that long?
The Forge capability? Yeah. I think so. Dorito? Yeah, it's been out for a while.
Wow. Yeah. Man, time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah, I don't know how long it's been out, but it's been out for quite some time. Didn't it get announced?
Was it 18 when it came out or 19?
For MCC? After MCC?
It was out before MCC.
It was announced in 2015.
2015.
The original schedule launch was 2016. So the alpha came out in 2015. And the official servers were taken down December of 2015. Yeah. It's been 6 years. Well,
wow.
A little more than 5 years. Yeah, it's been around. DG's like, damn.
Give me just a moment.
Anyways, so yeah, that map coming to Halo 3 is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I still got it on there. I guess tonight after podcast, I'll hit the updater and start updating it.
There you go.
That might take a while.
Yeah, Waterfall wasn't the map that actually made it to Halo Online in the alpha. So I guess it was a map that was being worked on for full release. Kind of makes me wonder what other maps they had in the back pocket for Halo Online that never actually saw the light of day because it wasn't in the alpha.
True.
So we might have a full suite of maps because there were, I want to say upwards of 6 maps, including some existing ones like Valhalla was in there. So like I think 6 maps in total, maybe like 3 of the maps were new. One of them was a turf remake, which is a lot of fun. And then there's this Waterfall
one. I will be really honest with you. From what I played of of the mod.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, granted I didn't get to play the actual alpha. But of what I played for the mod, from what I've seen in that, I think it would have been a really good version of a Halo free-to-play game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, they'd have to put the monetization in it in the right places, but the way they had it built, it looked like it was going to be a really nice free-to-play game.
Well, with Halo Infinite being free-to-play for multiplayer, I wonder how much of the Halo Online systems or ideas they had are kind of translating over to the Halo Infinite multiplayer.
Oh, a better question. How much of the customization backlash would we get?
I mean, there's that too.
What? I can't have my 2 colors? No, we're going to give you 17. I want my 2 colors.
Yeah, that whole thing again.
Sorry. Anyway.
No, I mean, yeah, you're good. So we've got the 2 screenshots. That basically confirmed the second map. But other than that, the dev and flight update is just a reminder of what's coming in with the flight, what they're planning to test, and that they're targeting for the day we're recording this podcast, which is the 25th, today is when they were planning on starting the flighting. Still no word on it actually happening yet, but that was at least the original or the revised date, because the original date was last weekend and it's supposed to be today. Might still happen during the podcast. We might get a tweet from Postum saying, okay, it's live, but for the meantime.
Yeah. The last message I got from him was the Halo 4 flight.
So nothing
that I don't even think I ever got to play.
Rip. So now the thing that we are all here to discuss, the brand new hot off the presses Halo Infinite update. Taking a look at the mysterious world of Zeta Halo.
It's Zeta Halo.
It's Zeta Halo, y'all. and all the mysteries included within it. So, GT, I don't know how much you've had a chance to read through it.
Zero.
I highly recommend people go and read it. We'll take a look at the highlights. So this month's issue is looking at, again, at the world of Zeta Halo and how they're bringing it to life for the Halo Infinite campaign experience. There's a lot of history with Zeta Halo from past Halo fiction and lore.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of lore fans are very excited for the fact that we are going to be seeing Zeta Halo in a whole new light, not just referenced in a little text blurbs or other external media, but in like being able to experience
the Palace of Pain.
Yep. And whatever the auditorium is that Escherim was talking about, there's a lot of potential with this Halo, and this dev update definitely hints at some of those pieces of it. So we've got three different folks from the team that are in for this set of interview questions. So Unishek is the one asking the questions, I'm pretty sure. And we've got Justin Dings or Dingies. I'm not sure how you say his last name. He is currently the campaign art lead on Halo Infinite and has been with 343 for 10 years, starting off as a multiplayer map lead on Halo 4. And for Halo 5, he was a campaign lead environment artist. So he's been around for a while. Next up on the list is Troy Mashburn. He is currently the gameplay director for Halo Infinite, and he came on to the team in 2017 as a sandbox lead. And then the last person we have is John Mulkey. He is currently the world design lead for Halo Infinite, and he joined 343 Industries back in 2018. Those are the three folks that we get to hear from about bringing Zeta Halo to life for Halo Infinite. Another reason to check out the article, especially for this one, there's a lot of really cool freaking screenshots.
Yes, most definitely.
There's a lot.
I did manage to get a few of those in. So,
mm-hmm. If you go there, one of the things that I think was either mentioned in the interviews or I saw people tweeting about it or something was, if you look at some of the screenshots closely, because you can download them in 4K, you can actually see some of the wildlife in the screenshots. So remember that big, nice 2018 E3 trailer with all the wildlife? I don't know if it's the same wildlife, but you can at least see some wildlife on Halo. And we'll get to explaining a little bit more about that in some of the summary that I wrote up on this for our show notes. But definitely take a look at the screenshots, because they are just beautiful. You get to see a little bit of the natural Halo environment and the Forerunner architecture. You get to see it in contrast with some Banished aesthetics as well. So there's a Banished stronghold that they have, and they have an interior concept piece that kind of contrasts with the natural landscapes of Zeta Halo and the Forerunner architecture. There's even a kind of time of day progress screenshot of the same camera angle, looking at the same kind of Forerunner pillar, and it is multiple different times of day, and it is outstanding. Getting to take a look at just how much the environment changes with the lighting, and yeah, it's a lot more of a real world feeling with the screenshots that we see here. It's really, yeah, really cool. So that's something to look at, really appreciate. Just looking at these screenshots, it's come a long way from the Xbox showcase last year. There's a lot more stuff that's really, really popping, a lot more details that's being really accentuated from the lighting and the contrast. It's looking really freaking good.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, still everything's still a work in progress, but I mean, it's the screenshots are good enough to make a grown man cry. They're beautiful.
Yes, so, they are, and I'm really liking the HUD. They've done a little cleanup on the HUD since the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it. Like, it's one with the shot of the sniper rifle. Campaign, work in progress, PC.
Yep. Everything is, yeah, it seems like everything is kind of bundled together in one corner of the screen. Not sure how I feel about that, but yeah, the UI has definitely been cleaned up a lot for the HUD.
Well, I actually kind of like that, because I can look at one place, I can see my grenade, I can see what weapons I have, I can see what ammo I have. You know, it's all in that one area. I don't have to look all over the, you know, all over to see which grenade I got selected or, you know, which weapon I've got. You know, it's all nice and condensed.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess for me, if it was in the top, one of the top corners, it might be a little better.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, they got to give you a place to put your webcam.
I mean, I guess if they're really thinking that progressively about it, then
they're but
it's excuse. Hey, if you're gonna pitch them a softball, and you're just gonna bat it down.
Well, I mean, that's one thing I've always had with, you know, a lot of games is there's webcams. You got to put them in the middle of the screen or they covers up information.
Yeah. There's a certain space you can put them safely. Otherwise, you're just kind of screwed.
Yeah. I don't mind having the face cam there, but I don't want to cover up information that the viewer may want to watch or see and, or gameplay for sure. But
well, game, no,
this is actually looking really good.
Fine. It's usually when you go in menus or looking at stats or whatever, that's like, okay, camera needs to be somewhere else. Like if games had some kind of smart integration with, I mean, this is like really high ask, might be easier to do on PC, but definitely Xbox is out there. Yeah. But if like games had some kind of integration where it's like, okay, whenever I am in game, I want my camera here. Whenever I'm in menu, I want you to automatically change it to here or change
or the turn scene. It off.
Or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with the, you know, Xbox is supporting webcams now, there's no reason they couldn't.
Well,
I mean, other than someone actually writing in the software.
Yeah. Eric Abu is saying, I feel some of the foreigner structures are a bit too simple. It seems like there's a reason to that. And I'll go ahead and I guess touch on some of the things, some of the highlights from the article. They're really trying to go for that legacy and simplicity feeling of Halo CE. They're really trying to harken back to what that Halo CE experience was with modern graphics. That's actually one of the first things they talk about in the interview questions here, was what the artistic goals are for Zeta Halo and Halo Infinite. And they started off with saying they want to go back to that legacy feeling, that feeling that you first get when you're on Halo CE in the very first Halo ring, and really nail that simplicity that was there, but do it with next gen graphics.
Which, I mean, even in a canonical state, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Because Zeta Halo is one of the earliest Halos in the array. Well, it is the earliest Halo in the array.
The existing array, yes.
Where all the rest of the Halos came along after it. So it would make sense that the architecture would be a little different.
Yeah. So, yeah, going into the questions, artistic goals was the first question that they talked about. Legacy and simplicity is a main goal of theirs. And also trying to have some of the key words be held true throughout the entire experience. So some of the terms that they're using are super soldier, story driven, spiritual reboot, all those kind of things. So if what they are building and designing doesn't really align with their key terms that they're trying to go for, then it's not really going to fit with what their goals are for the most part. The next piece of this is inspiration and this what they're using to kind of build the environment. So a lot of this is based off of the Pacific Northwest, looking at just the surrounding mountains, forests, valleys, and getting a sense of how it can just feel natural on the Halo ring. So kind of going back to that Halo CD aesthetics, but you can definitely tell with the graphical upgrades a lot of it has some very influential just nature associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking at the screenshots, it's really pretty. There is kind of a contrast between some Forerunner architectures and the natural cadence of the fauna and the trees, the rocks, the cliffs and all that stuff, but it does kind of blend in too. Like I'm looking at the second screenshot in this update, and while you can definitely see the Forerunner structures, it kind of blends in a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
CE kind of did that in some aspects where certain Forerunner structures were embedded in certain geological features, going back to the whole "this cave isn't a natural formation" quote.
But this is a natural formation, really, Cortana.
But it's really cool to see how the dynamic is really playing too. Like it doesn't seem overly jarring to have the Forerunner stuff, at least from these screenshots, the Forerunner stuff combined in there with the natural architecture.
That's, well, one of the things that's always been part of the Forerunner architecture is when they've, you know, displayed it, it looks like it was there before the dirt, you know, it doesn't look like something tacked onto, you know, like you put a building on a lot. It looks like it was put on the lot. It doesn't look like the lot came in afterwards, where with the Forerunner architectures, that's the way it works. It looks, you know, it looks like the building is the old part and the dirt's the new part. And it just kind of grows together better or flows together better.
Or it's just like built in so well that it's meant to be nearly seamless.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, you don't get that hard. You don't get that hard change from the nature to the structure. You know, it's got that soft, you know, like ease into the structure that makes it look like it's, you know, it was there from the very beginning.
Right.
You know, it's not an afterthought like a lot of human construction is.
Yeah. And from a lore perspective too, I mean, just seeing how the foundations of the replacement ring from Halo 3 was being made, all that structure mm-hmm. is being made primarily first, and then you throw in all the nature stuff on top of it. But I'm sure there's some pieces that probably get put added in afterwards, but even then, like you said, it really meshes well together to have that. It doesn't feel unnecessarily out of place.
Right.
And I think they're nailing that Halo CE vibe. It's a lot more simplistic, kind of how they mentioned. And the Forerunner architecture combined in with a lot of the natural stuff, a lot of the hills and cliffs and mountains, trees, all that kind of stuff, really seems to be blending well with what they're going for so far. Although people have issues with some of the graphic quality from the trailer from last year, but you can still tell then with what they were trying to go for.
Yeah.
That it really has that Halo feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Those
I could definitely see where they were, see which way they were headed with it.
Next thing they talked about was inspiration. We kind of started this already. So Pacific Northwest mountains, forests, and valleys. And they also want to give you an experience that's going to keep you thinking about the game while you're not playing it. So they want you to be so engrossed in the environment that you can't get it out of your head.
So kind of the way it is now.
Mm-hmm. Really playing off that nostalgia with Halo CE. Uh-huh. A little bit of Halo 2 as well. Halo 2 was a lot more true to that kind of Halo vibe with some differences. Obviously, you got the graphical upgrade with Halo 2 from Halo CE. But, yeah. I mean, a lot more so there. I mean, the last time, Halo 2 was the last time we really had a focus. Well, not even then. Because I guess everything, maybe 40% of Halo 2 is played on the Halo ring. And Halo 3, it was one mission. Halo 4, you didn't even touch a Halo ring. Halo 5, there wasn't even a Halo ring that existed until the final cutscene.
Right.
So this is the first
I think it's more I think it's more like, you know, when you look at that stuff, you on Forerunner structures.
Mm-hmm.
And with, you know, with Halo 3, you spent the bulk of your time or a sizable chunk of your time on the Ark.
Half the game. Yeah. Well, not even so, half. Not even half. 40%.
No.
30-40%.
Yeah. And most of the other time you were either on Earth or, well, you were on Earth.
Half the game was on Earth. Then you had the one mission in High Charity, so it was Flood.
Yeah.
And then the one on Halo, and there was two missions on the Ark, which were the two longest missions of the game, so it's a little more than 20%. We'll give it a quarter or 30%. How about that? But yeah, I can definitely get a lot of CE vibes. Definitely fits the spiritual reboot mantra that they're going for. It's kind of a fresh perspective. It's really that ebb and flow of storytelling. You get into certain grooves and it's time to get out of a groove and go to something else. So it's 343 trying to kind of ground themselves while still trying to innovate and get creative with some new stuff. And part of that is looking at the equipment that they're bringing on.
Mm-hmm.
One of the next things that they were talking about is with the spiritual reboot, they really want to captivate the classic feeling of Halo CE, but also incorporate some new gameplay mechanics that have really been introduced into the genre over the years. So the grapple shot is something that that's really challenging them and creating their experiences, but it's also kind of liberating in some ways. They said that it's both. There's ways that it's frustrating to work with, but there's other ways where they're excited for people to use it and navigate with it and get to places that you wouldn't normally be able to get to without it. And I actually pulled a quote from one of the responses here. The grapple shot is a great example of adding something new that also supercharges things you're already familiar with, like clamber or melee. You're familiar with clambering up a double stack of crates, but the obstacles in Infinite are larger and more organic. Their grapple shot gives you the same fluid motion as clamber with a much greater range to get to more locations quickly. So again, it's that evolution of gameplay and really adapting to the environment that they're creating that really gives cadence to having some of this new stuff, even though it's not classic in the standpoint of that's how the gameplay was back in Halo CE, but it fits well with what they're trying to do going back and doing the spiritual reboot, and it fits, which is cool. The fact that they're excited that the grapple shot exists and gives players new ways of trying to do things and solve puzzles and explore maps and really take advantage of what they're giving us is great.
Hijack Banshees. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing how they implemented the grapple shot and how it works with the sandbox and with the story of Infinite.
Yeah. It gives cadence to a lot of different ways that you can really approach situations, approach different narratives that they have set up, different boss battles, different side quests and stories that we haven't been able to do. And with going back to a lot more of the open world that just the Halo environment gives, their grapple shot's kind of a natural fit with a lot of that stuff. So even though we're getting that spiritual reboot in the sense of we're going back to a Halo, we're going back to kind of that focused narrative on a Halo ring and the challenges that are there with an opposing force and really exploring the mysteries of what Zeta Halo is, you have all these new game mechanics that still fit well within the play space that can enhance that narrative and enhance that gameplay. So it's really cool to see them taking that step back to really touch the nostalgia feels with Halo CE, but still making progress forward in the game mechanics and the graphical fidelity. Like what we're seeing here, if you did that with Halo CE, it would look great. Obviously the same kind of mechanics, like if you put Halo CE's mechanics into a game today, no one would like it. The only reason people like it today is because it's nostalgic. But Halo CE would not work in today's market. But the grapple shot does, because that's the advanced movement that a lot of first person shooters are using and a lot of people are accustomed to now. And that's where it seems like they're really trying to nail that balance between getting that classic feel of Halo, both from a visual perspective and a gameplay perspective, but still making it, I guess, for lack of a better word, appealing to the mass audience that would be playing a first person shooter.
True. Yeah. I don't mind the spiritual reboot part of it. As long as they're still innovating in the game, make me want to explore the game.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want a clone of Halo CE or Halo 2 or Halo 3, any of them. I want something new and unique. Now, it can reference the older games, which is fine, like in art style and things like that, but I just don't want to play the same game over.
Right. Yeah. Definitely don't want to do that. Don't want it to be just a rote experience over and over again, which having some of the open world mechanics kind of helps. Like, if you really want to explore the narrative of the ring, they're making the ring its own character in a way. Mm-hmm. That was another section that they were talking about things, how Zeta Halo is in itself a core piece of the narrative. It's a living world. The time of day is a piece of it. The nature is a piece of it. The different ways that you can approach encounters with the different equipment and the different foliage around. Like, there's just a lot of different ways that what they're doing with Infinite gives you opportunities to really craft the way you experience the game.
Yeah.
So you're going to be presented with different challenges and you have different ways to approach that. You can go you can go on top of a cliff overlooking a stronghold and come in from the top. You can storm on straight into the front door and just risk it all and try to go that way. You can be sneaky, and if active camo is a thing, pick up active camo, go in through the side door, try to get into the center without being noticed and maybe blow something up. They're really trying to make it to where you can interact with the world dynamically and come up with your own ways to solve problems or go after challenges and really make your experience unique. And that's a core piece of what they're trying to do with Zeta Halo. Trying to make it feel like a real environment.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with the environment, and especially these side quest things. You know, how engaging are they? Are they something that's repeatable, or is it just kind of a one-time deal? And, you know, I don't want it to be, you know, go over here, kill something, and then done. You know, I want it to really engage me and show me around the world.
And there's options to do that. They said that you can either go down the golden path and really just go straight on through the narrative if you want. There's still those opportunities to approach different challenges or different sections differently. Like, take Halo 3, for example. You can either go straight through some parts, like Savo Highway. You can speedrun that whole thing without really even encountering enemies, or you can take it slow and kill off every last Covenant enemy and take it the slow route. And it sounds like they're really just doing that with Zeta Halo on a much more massive scale. And maybe some of those counters will be the same encounters will be vastly different depending on the way you approach a specific enemy or a specific stronghold or different squad. Maybe it's a different configuration. Maybe it's not as many. Maybe there's more. Maybe one time you come across it on one playthrough, there's just a pack of brutes. Maybe next time there's hunters and jackal snipers or something like that.
As long as it's not the Halo 2 jackal snipers.
As long as it's not the Halo 2 one. Right. And Eric, I get what you're saying. There's definitely a lot of stuff that seems that they're, I don't think they're necessarily like just completely dropping out from Halo 4 and 5, but being this is a spiritual reboot, and being that a lot of the stuff that we saw in Halo 4 and 5 weren't even related to a Halo. We never set foot on the Halo in either game. I'm not necessarily upset over it. I mean, we saw in the E3 2019 video, or no, sorry, it was last year's, how there was the Halo 4 style grunts and the Halo 3 style grunts.
Yeah.
So there's definitely certain aspects to it, but the Halo architecture is very unique just within the Halo game.
You know, the one thing we got to remember was we have not seen the finished architecture. And what we have seen, we've seen from a distance. Well, at least theoretical distance from the screenshots. So we haven't really got a chance to really examine these structures. So, you know, I'm kind of reserving my opinion on the art style that they're using in this until I actually get to see it, because until I see actual finished assets, I don't want to make an opinion. I don't want to post an opinion on it.
Well, for me,
I'm excited with the potential of the world. You know, I'm just waiting to see what 343 delivers.
For me, Halo in Infinite, though, like, we haven't seen that architecture since Halo 3. Like, Requiem is its own thing. Halo 5, mm-hmm. You barely touch Forerunner architecture. I mean, you're on Genesis, but that's a whole another separate thing on its own. So the best reference that we have for this is really Halo 1 and Halo 2. And I mean, Halo is a unique environment, and mm-hmm. a lot of that artistic style for Halo 4 and 5 just aren't directly comparable.
Yeah. No. The art style that they used for Halo 3 or Halo 4 and Halo 5, they're nothing like the other games.
Yeah.
But they're also not taking place in the same place as the other games did, or on structures that were built in the same time frame as CE 2 and 3.
Yeah. So I would say definitely, like, I get what you're saying, Eric Abu, but at the same time, I don't think they're necessarily just completely abandoning Halo 4 and 5. I think where it makes sense to include some of that art style, they will. And we see a lot. We saw that in the grunts, where it was the two different style of grunts, mm-hmm. the Halo 4 grunt and the Halo 3 grunt. So where it makes sense to apply it, I'm sure they'll take some of the stuff and try to incorporate it as much as they can. Like all the banished stuff, like I'm sure all that stuff from Halo Wars 2 is probably going to be a very direct derivative and improvement of what we got in Halo 2. And that banished architecture will more than likely contrast with the Forerunner architecture. I mean, it's hard to say because all we have is,
well, I mean, even from the screenshots they had in the article, you can see that banished base,
they're not even screenshots. Both of the banished stuff are art pieces.
Yeah. They're not even attempting to make them look like any Forerunner object or human for that matter.
Other than the fact that it's gray.
Gray is a pretty universal color.
Right.
But I mean, even the lines of the building, they don't line up with, you know, any other really architecture that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's close to human architecture.
Earlier, it looks like it doesn't fit. All the foreign architecture fits. Mm-hmm. Banished stuff doesn't. So just not trying to downplay it, Eric Abu, but I guess keep it as a matter of perspective.
I'm looking forward to seeing it, what the final product is.
Yeah.
And find the line of where, you know, what they're referencing from CE, what they reference from 2 or 3 or, you know, 4 or 5, you know, any of them, because I'm sure there's going to be references to all the games in there, whether they be small ones or big ones.
Yep. And there's going to be influence across the board. Like there's, there's definitely folks that like the Halo 4 and Halo 5 aesthetics. 343 knows that they're not just going to completely abandon it. They'll make it fit in with their goals of doing the spiritual reboot where they can. What we got next from what they were talking about, we actually kind of skipped over a section. They talked a little bit about collaboration between the design team and the art team. And one of the question that was asked was, what's the experience typically of building the spaces? Do you lay out the artwork first and then the designers come in and really kind of clean up certain things or put certain places in from a gameplay perspective? Or do the designers create the play space and the pathing and then the art team kind of make it look pretty? And just like a lot of other things, it depends. What was the main response there? With the complexities of development and where certain pieces of the game are in that development cycle, sometimes it makes sense for the design team to take it first and then the art team, or the other way around, where the art team really creates something cool and then the design team places those gameplay elements in there. And then there's certain parts where they know for sure they want design or art to take over from the initial perspective and then have the other team come in later. And sometimes they're able to do that successfully. Sometimes they're not. That's just part of the complexities of game development in general. So it's a big, it depends, but there's definitely approaches for doing it both ways. And they've done it both ways, depending on what the need is of a particular area, particular encounter, particular part of the story. So it really is just a big depends. The favorite aspects from the three world folks that we have on, the time of day lighting, which the one picture that really showcases time of day is really nice. Another person said the challenges that you are presented with, so being able to have that immersive experience with the different things that you're going to be able to experience with Infinite, along with the sandbox that you have. So all of the weapons, the equipment, and really getting to see how players are going to overcome certain challenges and come up with creative ways to solve them. Then another person said approach to player experiences. Kind of similar to the last one, but really just looking at more of the sandbox. So do you blaze through a front gate with a warthog full of marines? So there's going to be marines in here. So it's not just going to be Chief and Brohammer. There is going to be a UNSC presence of some kind. So we're not alone. Mm-hmm. Do you gobble shot a sniper rifle to get an advantage point to take out enemies from far away? So being able to see how players dictate their experience as they go through the world that they've created with, say, the Halo. And then the last kind of big section of questions was how the equipment influences the encounters. And we touched on this a little bit already. The main big thing that's changing a lot is the grapple shot. And that's been mentioned several times in these series of questions and answers. But with including the grapple shot, all the other equipment is just making the design team and the art team really think about how engagements can be experienced and how players can take advantage of certain parts of the environment, certain equipment to do certain things. So it's really, in one way, like I said before, a challenge. In some other ways, it's kind of liberating as well, giving players a chance to, if they see something or if they can think of a clever way to solve a problem, it really gives a sense of accomplishment and creativity to doing that stuff if you can use your equipment well. Another quote that I pulled: we can also expect players to get some really awesome to get to some really awesome locations and vantage points that will further show off the beauty of the world that we've created. So maybe they'll go easy on the kill box volumes.
Maybe.
With the whole not really open world, but kind of open world concept, there's going to be a lot of stuff that they're really putting forward. Like, it's going to be a probably huge environment.
I think probably what they'll do instead of doing kill box is they might do physical barriers. mm-hmm. that you're unable to get through.
Yep.
Which we all know that speedrunners will find a way. They always do.
Yep.
They'll find forward. That, you know, they'll find that hole that's this big that they can squeeze through.
Halo 4 was big. They used that a big time in Halo 4. And Halo 2 a little bit as well.
Well, in all Halos, they've gone places they weren't supposed to. Halo 3 especially. You know, with some of the runs they've made, you can make in Ghosts. Halo 2, one mission you can do in, what, a minute 30?
Oh.
I can't think what
you're talking about. High Charity, right?
Yeah.
Where if you get one of the Flood, you can just kind of mail it all your way over to the checkpoint because of the way the game loads in the different parts of the level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then you also got the other one, where you're the art. You spawn in as the Arbiter and you have the Roots. Not that one.
Sacred Icon? The second to last Arbiter mission? The one where the Dead Elite on the ground is talking right at the beginning? It's the first Arbiter mission right after the Grave Mind.
No, give me, it's when you come in from outside, or you go outside, and you're immediately faced with like three Brutes, some Jackals, then you go to your left and there's, you have the Brutes on Ghosts. God, I can't think of the name of that mission.
The one with Shipmaster?
No. No, this one, it's part of the mission where you have the Hunters.
Yeah, that's a Sacred Icon.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, and another point that they made was just being able to have the variety of sandbox opportunities. We kind of touched that on mm-hmm. that already. And one more quote that I pulled, because I thought this was this kind of summed up how they're doing their approach to doing the spiritual reboot, but also really bringing the game forward. And I don't remember who exactly said this, but we designed Halo Infinite so that you're freer than you've ever been to do what Spartan super soldiers do best. Survey a battle space, plan your attack, engage the enemy, deal with whatever surprises the sandbox throws your way, and then rearm for the next battle. I think that was actually Joe Staten at the bottom that said that.
Yeah.
And I thought that summed that up perfectly. Like, we're enabling you to do what we've told you Spartans can do in the narratives from the games and the books this whole time, give you the tools to devise your own strategies to the challenges that we're giving you in the game. So that there's that survey the battle space, plan attack, engage the enemy, and deal surprises in the sandbox, and then dictate how you're going to experience the game. All in all, I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, I am too. I'm looking forward to actually reading the whole article. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to read the whole article.
It came out less than 2 hours before the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool to see the progress in the screenshots. It's heads over heels, in my opinion, than what we were mm-hmm. where we were at last year. The dynamic color and the time of day is also a really cool aspect to it. I think
So do the creepers come out at night?
Well, the banish of the creepers, and maybe. You know, it'd be interesting is if the Brutes, the mass that they have, or if like, remember ODST where the Brutes kind of had like these lights at night on their yeah. helmets? It'd be cool if we got to see some of that stuff. Like, maybe they have one kind of armor configuration during the daytime, and then at nighttime, as things get darker, they put on helmets or they turn on lights on their armor that helps kind yeah. of expose or illuminate locally around them.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool. That'd be really cool. So that's the February update. It's really worth the read. I highly recommend you go out and read it. We kind of hit some of the highlights. There's also one other little hidden detail in there. There's an audio file. I want to kind of play it up for people to go find on their own. I don't know if you've heard it yet, GT.
No, I haven't. Like I said, I haven't really had a chance to even dig into it.
There's an audio file in there. It's hidden behind the link. So just look for a link. But go listen to it. It's, I don't know if they're going to continue to do stuff like this within the articles, but I hope they do. It's little audio teases and snippets. Not a full-on Hunt the Truth type thing. But
which would absolutely be cool, but
right. But the other file is called Halsey's Journal. So go look for it. It's in
the pins.
It's in the update. The line makes me think we have version 2.0 of Halsey's Journal. Maybe an audio journal. So maybe like an audio log type thing. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. We got a social couple of social posts. We mentioned earlier that the Halo TV show is going to be coming exclusively to Paramount Plus in 2022. Kind of sucks that it's going to be exclusive to that platform, but at least we have.
Well, it kind of sucks that it's not going to be a primer for Halo Infinite.
Yeah, but did you really think it was going to be a primer for Halo Infinite at any point?
I thought for a possibility. I mean, when they announced it.
I guess with all the delays, it just kind of seemed like, no, this is going to be its own thing.
Yeah, I mean, when they first announced it, yeah, I kind of thought it might be a primer for the next Halo game. But, you know, of course, after the delays and after the delay and then the virus, apparently things have changed. So,
yeah. So there's that. We've also got a Friction Friday. What we got, GT?
We have got, for Friction Friday, the Outer Colony of Alaria. Is the second planet in the Eridanus system.
Nope. Elduros.
What? Elduros. Sorry. I'm listening to Cold Protocol, so forgive me. The majority of the population lives in extreme poverty due to a century-long drought. Wow.
And the picture accompanying this is A desert.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of thirsty.
Cheers.
Mine's empty.
Oh, no. We're almost done. And what else we got, GT?
So it looks like Halo Wars 2 turns 4.
Yeah.
4 years ago, Captain Cutter and his crew of the Spirit of Flyer emerged victorious against the Banished. Happy birthday to Halo Wars 2.
Right after they announced they're not supporting it anymore.
Exactly.
Or not developing it. They're still supporting it. They're not developing anything new with it.
They're just not developing anything new.
Right. They'll still critical patch anything, but yeah. No new development, no new balance updates, any of that kind of stuff. At least for now.
Yeah, we'll at this time. Right. Of course, their plates are kind of full right now, so.
Yeah, they've got a Halo Infinite coming up, and there's the Halo TV show, and who knows what other secret projects they might be working on.
Well, they still got the wish list for MCC, too, that they're still working on.
Season 6 content, whatever Season 7 content will be, Season 8 content. At some point, that content train's going to start slowing down, but it's not slowing down anytime soon. Anytime soon, it seems. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of people. There's also a lot of people calling for a Halo 5 port too.
Yes, there are.
Which I can understand, but don't hold your breath anytime soon.
Right. I think their primary focus is Infinite. Yeah. And Mitch Cosplay just found the audio clip. Yes, it's exciting. That's going to be it for us tonight. Kind of a shorter show, but quite a packed show with the new Infinite stuff. Again, please, please go check the February update. It is really packed full of cool stuff about what they're doing to bring Halo, Zeta Halo to life within the Halo universe. All the screenshots on there are amazing. The artwork is also really a really nice touch. I really like the time of day stuff. Really do. It looks incredible to me. So
they keep putting out this artwork. I'm going to have to get a hard drive specifically for my Halo wallpaper.
How much artwork storage do you have?
I'm afraid to look.
Oh no. Is it like just all Halo stuff? And I guess a couple other things.
I have a specific folder for Halo wallpaper. And that's the only thing that goes in that folder.
Okay.
I haven't moved it to its own drive yet, but.
Gotcha.
Let's put it this way. It's on my file server that has a 6 terabyte drive in it. And is about to get another 8 terabyte drive after that this weekend.
But it's not all.
No, it's not all. Though. No, it's not all screenshots.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh, Laird just posted in the Discord a GIF of all the time of day screenshots put back to back.
Cool.
That's really nice. A little fast, but that's a very very good. And are they even in order? Anyways, it's still really cool to see the difference of the lighting. Yeah. So that's going to do it for us tonight. No community updates of any kind. Next week will probably be another MCC update, depending on how big it is. If there's anything important on there, we may or may not do a show. Stay tuned to Discord and Twitter for updates on that. Speaking of which, find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can also join our Discord and join up on our game nights on Fridays. You can vote for if you want to be playing Halo 5 or Halo MCC for our Fraggin' Friday, hosted by GT at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll also throw in for this weekend the option to look at Flighting if we get the announcement
that it is available.
Right. If we get the announcement that is happening, which at this point of the podcast, I still don't think we've actually seen an announcement from Postums or anybody that's coming out this weekend. So it might get pushed back another weekend. We'll see.
I haven't got my invite yet, so.
I haven't either, and Twitter hasn't blown up yet that flights are happening. Neither has Discord anywhere. So yeah, nothing yet. We've also got we've also got our Cheating Halo on Sundays. Again, that is 10 p.m. Eastern Time, where I am doing currently MCC challenges and a couple other achievement stuff as well. Next month, we'll probably look to start doing our achievement hunting days with Halo Completionist on trying to get lobbies together to do some of the more difficult achievements for the 360 titles. So for those looking to 100% your achievements, we can work on some of those together. So keep an eye out for that coming pretty soon. Working with Silver on that. You can also watch us on Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And that's when we do our podcast live streams. So if you're a downloader of the show and want to come join the conversation live, then feel free to come over to Twitch and do so on Thursday nights. You can download the podcast on iTunes and Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Stitcher, all those fun places. If there's a place that you listen to podcasts frequently that we are not on, please reach out to us and let us know. But we are on all major podcasting services, so just search for Podtackler and you should be able to find us and give us a listen. Also, join our Spartan Company and Xbox Club. We are still hunting for that Achilles helmet. Hopefully we'll get there. Maybe one day we'll get there. Probably won't be before Infinite, but we're still going to try anyways. And you can
one of these days,
and you can join us on our Discord, share some Halo's fun news that you have or stories or experiences for our Tales from the Foxhole segment, which we did not do this week because the Halo Infinite news was a big thing. But normally we'll take stories that we get for Tales from the Foxhole from Discord. If there's any clips or screenshots you also want to share up on our Xbox Club, we'll kind of go over those as well. So share any kind of Halo stuff with us that you want us to talk about on the show, and we'll talk about it on the show. Also, thank you to everyone on Twitch who supports us and subscribes to us. Thank you all so much for your continued support, especially through the pandemic time and all the craziness that's happening with the world. We can't thank you guys for the support that you guys continue to give us. So thank you so much for all of our support on Twitch. And thank you to our patrons on Patreon. We got three people helping us out over there, getting some extra stuff, including access to VODs, show notes, and all that kind of stuff. Shouts to Pins Halo, Confal, and Prestige Ace for your continued contributions to the podcast. Really appreciate all
of the support. Thank you very much.
If you want to support us, you can head on over to podtech.com/patreon or subscribe to us on Twitch. Or if you'd rather donate to us directly, you can do so by going to podtackler.com/donate and contribute that way. All that stuff helps us do giveaways, keep the lights on with the website, and hopefully at some point we can start doing some bigger events other than just the game nights, maybe some tournaments or some fun crossover play date kind of things. So the support that you guys give us is appreciated, and obviously it's not required, but for those that do, thank you so much for supporting us and giving us a reason to keep doing the podcast. Really appreciate it. GT, any final thoughts before we wrap it up for the night?
Yay, Infinite!
Oh, yes. 1 month closer, 1 day closer. It's almost here. It is the year of Infinite.
It is the year of Infinite.
Is the year of Infinite. The next year will be the year of Halo TV show locked behind paywall of Paramount Plus exclusivity.
At least this year will be year of depression because we won't get any new Halo content.
There'll be plenty of DLCs to Infinite, I'm sure.
Expansion. Yeah, I will be patiently waiting for the DVD set.
Yeah, or Blu-ray. Probably sank the Blu-ray.
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, do they even do DVDs anymore, or are they all Blu-rays now?
Yeah. DVDs are still mass produced.
Yeah.
Thank you everyone for tuning in who came over live to the Twitch stream tonight. Thank you for hopping on over. We got Keys, Eric Kaboo, MH Cosplays, Pins, Laird was in here a little bit. We got Bobby without BobbyNet anymore, which is a miracle. I think that was pretty much it. We had Halo Collector over here for a little bit. So thank you guys for coming in, keeping us company tonight. And we'll catch you guys tomorrow for Fraggin' Friday. Hop in the Discord.
Have a good night.
Make your vote. Have a good night. Dump trucks.